Welcome back to Love in Black with me, Kareen Latoya. So, I'm just gonna outright say I am so sorry that it has taken me so many moons to return. It has been a long time, and I truly do apologize. So, I moved house last August, and it's just been... it's been a long period, right? My schedule has changed so much. I do have an episode which I recorded, which you were meant to hear last year. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to release it today. I'm actually releasing that one today. And the reason for that is the book is out today, right? So Love in Black, the book which this podcast is based on, is out today. You can get that book on Target. You can go to the website for Target or Barnes and Noble, or you can go to Amazon, or you can go to Waterstones online, you can go to Foils online, or you can just visit the Love in Black website, which is www.loveinblack.co.uk. Yeah, that's it. And then you go to the tab which says the book. So honestly, I do apologize. It has been a very long time. I have left you. But you know what? I appreciate you because you're still around. You're still listening. You've tuned in. So that means that, yeah, you are one of the ones that I can definitely call a keeper. I'm not saying the other ones are, but I do appreciate this. I appreciate you still listening. If you can just do me a favor, make sure you share this out before you get too far into it, because I promise you, you are going to want your family and friends to know about this as well. And also, let's just try it. How many books do you guys think you can get sold for me? Literally, like, you buying a copy for yourself and telling someone about it for them to buy a copy as well. Do you reckon you guys can help me out a bit, you know? So what are you gonna hear for this episode? I'm gonna go straight into that now. Is an amazing poet, actually, to say the least. Codename Spades, right? We recorded this last year. I'm not gonna say when. And I am gonna say King. I do apologize. So if you're listening, I do apologize that it's taking it this long. But again, I really do, you know, I have to just say thank you so much for bearing with me. So when we recorded this, you know, he was, you know, everything that he's saying. Now in today's world, he is a member of the Dallas Poetry Slam team. And he's actually an arts activist. He is a poetic activist, musical activist. He is an activist. So yes, even though he, you know, you'll find out the intro, you'll hear the intro that he gives, even though that's that, he is. So it's just, it's been a long period, but as I said, the book is out. I want you guys to help me out. And also just to note that I appreciate you. Alright, let us get straight into the episode. Thank you so much for this.
Of course. Thank you.
No problem. So, for everyone who does not know who you are, tell us all who you are, please.
No problem. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Codename Spades from Kansas City, Missouri, and a rapper, spoken word artist. And I guess becoming more of a I don't want to say activist, but I'm actively doing something, so we're going to say that. A voice of the community, or a voice for myself at least. And a voice of any whose ideas align with mine, you know?
I like that. I like that.
That is I. That is I.
All right. Now, how long have you been writing for?
Ooh, let me see. I have been writing for over a decade, easy. 16 years. 16 years since I was 12 years old.
Wow.
I'll never forget. Never
forget. All right. So what is it that you won't forget? You can't just say, I will never forget, and then just, you know. This is a point where I just get very nosy now.
No way. So when I was younger, I had a rough upbringing, and in it, being a typical kid, I stayed on punishment a lot. And one of the privileges was the radio. We never lost the radio. And so 103.3, they always had a countdown, right? 10 hottest rap songs at the time. And I wasn't very, at 12, I hadn't listened to much rap, honestly. My family's Bahamian, so I heard a lot of reggae, a lot of Caribbean music. I'm from Miami, so naturally I heard a lot of Hispanic music. My grandmother's older, so a lot of R&B, soul. And my dad was an R&B guy that would let me listen to rap. And then my auntie was alternative, pop, NSYNC. Blink 182, but then comes over to Linkin Park, all the way over to Green Day, like you named it. So everything would rap, clearly. Everything would rap. And it started first. My mom used to make these mix CDs with alternative, pop, maybe like one or two rap songs on there. But everything else is like alternative, pop, R&B. And then on there, there was Linkin Park. And Linkin Park, Chester Bennington, R.I.P. The first time I heard man speak, I said, whoa. I had never heard somebody word a sentence the way that they were wording it. What I would later learn is poetry. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, like I fell in love with it then, but I still hadn't touched anything yet. So then later in that year, I seen a guy rap for the first time at school. And this is before rapping was like a thing everybody and their mom could do. Like, this is pretty rare. So this dude's in there beating on the desk. His name was Jared Hash. He's beating on the desk and he's spitting. And I'm like, I'm putting two and two together. I'm like, I don't know what this is, but I want to do this. This is tight. Because that was like, it's different for me, it was different hearing it on a radio, but somebody's now telling you, like somebody's doing this in front of you. I wanted to jump in. And so the third thing that happened was I was just looking on my mom's bookshelf and I was just looking for a new book to read. And I found a Nikki Giovanni book. Mm. And it was one of her erotic poetry books. And at the moment, I didn't really comprehend any of that. I just liked the fact that it rhymed. And that's all of these things kind of helped me start to make my own raps and my own poems. So then I started writing. I was 6th grade, 12 years old. I was trash. Oh, my gosh.
But you started.
This is true. This is very true. Listen. This has been a journey, okay?
Mm.
It's like if this was Pokemon, I'm Ash, and I've had a rival every place I've gone. Nice. Because it's like I had to, everywhere I went, it's just like, now how did you get up there? You think you're somewhere, and then you find somebody who's a little above, so you're like, what? So, now. So that's how I started. Sixth grade, 12 years old, listening to the radio, reading a Nikki Giovanni book. Nice. And I had no business reading. Not at 12.
But we thank Nikki Giovanni.
And we yes, thank we Bonnie do.
For not keeping that book hidden.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Oh, man. All right. So I'm not even going to delve into your day-to-day life. This is not why we're here. Oh, but the inquisitive side of me wants to. No, we're not going to. We are here because, first thing first, master of sign language. Like, when you read that piece to me, and then when you even just started going through it, I was just like, yo, no, this is a whole podcast. This is a whole podcast. So this is the reason why we are here. And the maddest thing, I start, like, last night I was like, hold on, I'm sure they say, like, you know, there's a, you've got to spend a certain amount of hours to become a master of anything. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, literally just starting to put two and two together, like, properly, because it's like, and I'm just like, hold on, did this guy actually, like, really, like, I've got to ask you now, like, did you think about all of that prior to naming the piece and even writing the piece before you even, like, to call it Master of Sign Language?
When I say every piece, meticulous, like, I wanted it to make sense from beginning to end. And I wanted it to be something that it wasn't going to take. It was going to take more than 1, 2, 5 listens to really. You see what you said? You said, hold on.
Yo.
Can I read it? I feel still, like, I've heard it and not gotten everything. It needed to be layered because it's a layered topic.
It is. It really is. And
but presentation is everything.
Pardon?
No, just presentation is everything.
I hear that. And it's just crazy because I was just like, all right, cool. So if it takes 10,000 hours of practice to become a master of anything, I did the maths in a very strange way. 10,000 hours comes out to be about 416.6 recurring days. So call it 417 days, roughly, which is practically 1 year. So technically, it takes a man a year to become a master of sign language. It took you a year to become master of sign language in a world where you are constantly told not to show who you are. You can't be your authentic selves. Like, do men truly know what it means to be their authentic selves? Because there is never any room for it. As soon as you try to open up to a woman, nah, you're too soft. So women don't really want to hear any of it unless we want more from men. And we are now at a certain level of understanding that we can't be putting down our men. So we need to actually have them speak up. So I'd say for the more aware and the more caring women, it's us who are just like, do what you need to do, you know, open up. If you need to cry, cry and all of that, but don't shut down on us. So yeah, that whole piece, I listened back to it again today at work because it's like, let me say, no. Because I'm sure there were still things that I was hearing, which I was just like, I've listened to this enough times now. How did I miss this? It's like a whole new sign just pops up. It's like, what's good? I've met you before, but you didn't notice me. And even saying that now, it's like the same thing with men and the problems and the issues surrounding men. It's like, it's always been there. But we've never noticed it because we've either been too blind to notice it, or where in the piece you said, like, it's a sign that the language isn't working. Clearly, it's just not been working for us because we've missed all of the signs. Like, yo. So.
And that's important because and anything that you do, you got to be able to see both sides. You know, you have to be able to spot both. And if you can't, then you're still going to miss it. you know, because they're just like, there is a group of guys that do this. There are a group of women who do exactly what it is, what you just said, who do give the space, who don't force anything, who don't push, honestly, who mind their business. If you want to be honest, you jogged up on me, you pulled up on a bicycle on me, you stopped me at lunch asking about my curry, like
things which
we,
just
we both got to be responsible, you know. You have to, but also in that, there in responsibility and an understanding, there are hurdles on both sides that neither put in place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women having to have their guard up more with men didn't come from just out the blue. Something happened.
True.
We talk about 10,000 hours. That's, women have had their more than their fair share of 10,000. So it's like in this ping pong that turned domino effect, where do we stop the domino? How long are we going to allow this line to go? Because now you have some people who are projecting a fight that may not be as big as most people think. There's a lot of black men and women who genuinely care about each other, who aren't the trolls on the internet, who are just out here, hey, listen, if I see something, I'm going to stand in the way of the whole shebang. The problem kicks in is when we group everybody.
Yes.
When we say, oh, all this, all that. Well, it's not really all. But there are some things that may or may not affect all that are just universal, i.e., you don't give little boys anything that is really nurturing. You give us balls, action figures, G.I. Joes. Let's stop for a second. Because that's different. It's different. I promise, it's so different. And there are ways to normalize things. And then there are other ways, i.e., if you have, I know a few parents whose children are like 5 and 6 years old, and they know what a gun looks like. They recognize what a gun does, and they won't touch it. Seeing G.I. Joe, though, watching a man point a weapon that you've never seen in a day in your life might be a little different than, you know what I mean, than especially if this is all you had your whole life. So we're throwing it, whatever we can do. Like, it's different versus now when we go to the side of young ladies. How much action is Barbie and Ken really seeing?
That is a very good point.
The kitchen has everything. Y'all get the easy bake oven. Are you kidding me? What? I want cookies and cake too. What are you talking about?
Well, you telling me
we got the George Foreman Jr.?
When we make the cookies, you get the cookies. Apparently, that's how it's meant to be.
No. And mind you, too, there are universal toy sets and things like that out there. But parenting, much like a lot of different things, has to evolve as well. And that also kind of goes into that as well. Like, men, it's not just a woman's job just to cook and clean. It's a men thing, too. Men can do the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Universal skills, universal. Also, what plays a big part in that is grooming the young man as he grows to understand how his interaction with young ladies should look like.
Yes.
We just go to school one day and we're just like, yeah, I don't know what that is. I may or may not have seen it, but hey, I usually hit guys and this works with those, so I'm going to hit you. Hey, you know, playful tap or whatever, because that usually works for my friends. Because I don't know how to differentiate just yet. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a lot of different things, man. But at the core of it, it has to start. We have to start somewhere, you know? And that's why Brother's Keeper is so important in conjunction with Master of Silence. Because you have to be able to hold yourself accountable, but then also realize what you're holding yourself accountable for.
Yeah.
And then write your resolution and figure out how you're going to get out of it, you know?
100% agreed all the way. And funny enough, talking about, you know, the whole hitting situation and just the interaction between little boys and girls, after talking to you on the Saturday, I've been watching Phineas and Ferb for a bit now. I'm on season 3. I'm waiting for this to end. Still can't understand how Candace hasn't given up, you know, trying to bust these guys. But, you know, we keep watching it because it's hilarious, and I literally need to get to the end. Have my moments. I'm sitting there dancing to the music. That's beside the point. One of the episodes, Baljeet realized that his friend from India was actually a girl. And he was just like, I don't know what to do. You know, help me. What do I need? What do I do? I don't know. And he, you know, they kept trying to help him to have the most romantic time with her. And in the end, she was just like, I just want to have fun like we used to when we were younger. And he was like, oh, really? So I can just splash water at you. And she's like, yeah, that's literally all I want. This has been fun, but I want the old us back. And it's just like, yo, at what point do we actually do realize that we're not the same, but we are the same, and things can just keep happening as they used to? You know, he's like, I can't talk to girls. How do you talk to a girl? And it's hilarious because you've already got Isabella there, but clearly he doesn't see Isabella as a girl because Isabella's always with the guys.
Always been around, yeah.
So when I saw it, I was just like, yo, this is what Spades was talking about. It all comes full circle. Like, it was a bit of a mad moment.
I definitely attribute a point to women, especially Black women, when the disconnect between how men, Black men, treat their mothers and then how they treat other women that they interact with. Mm. I have thrown more than a curious eye in that direction, because I do know sometimes the relationship with moms can kind of determine the outcome of treatment of individuals around. I know for me personally, my mother and I kind of had a little bit of a rough upbringing, but it didn't make me treat women less than. It made me want to understand more. But I also know quite a few where that coin was flipped and the wire went all the way the other direction. Mm. So there's a lot of different variables within this, but I do, you would think it'd be as simple as, okay, so I treat my moms this way, it's how I interact with my mom. Okay, this is how I'm gonna treat it. And there are a lot of boys that do that. A lot of beautiful brown boys who grow to be fine young men that do that. For those where that disconnect happens, how do we find that and bridge that gap and bring that back? You know, there are individuals who've had, like I said, who've had issues with their mom or issues with maybe women or different women in a different aspect. And then they've carried that. Mm-hmm. And now we're back in that all category versus just the ones I've had personal dealings with. And that can be hard to separate, that especially for a man trying to sort things in the mind, not appear weak. Probably, like I said, pride is a huge thing, you know? So it's interesting. It's a very interesting breakdown, and it takes a lot of psychological work. We have had a number done on us, and now we kind of just really keep, a lot of us just keep the number going ourselves. I think that's the real sleep. Mm. Honestly, that's the real thing to wake up from. The real thing is to wake up from the systematic strategy that has been implemented for centuries, generations. The real wake to arise is really capturing yourself in the present and asking, what is your life purpose, whomever you are? Mm-hmm. And then beginning to do the things needed in order to fulfill that, because I think that's where your happiness comes from. And that doesn't matter whether you're a woman, man. And once we understand that, you then kind of can understand what everyone else's role in your life is, including your twin flame, your life partner, whomever it is you desire to be with. Mm. Sorry. Woo. That took a little turn.
No, it's fine. It's absolutely fine. Whilst you're speaking, like, it's just, for me, like, a lot of my episodes end up going back to slavery. That interruption of who we were, how we once used to live. And also even a quote that my dad told me about from Muta Baruka, who is a Jamaican poet, but he also, like, has a radio show and does quite a lot of talking. Quite a lot of talking that I used to hear quite often on Sunday mornings. That was my wake-up call for several weeks and months. But we, you know, we don't get triggered by that. But yeah, dad told me something he said, which was that slavery was our history didn't start at slavery. Slavery is the interruption of our history. And
that's a quote. Woo! Say that again.
So history didn't start at slavery. Slavery is the interruption of our history.
I couldn't agree absolutely more. Especially if you come from the islands.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and not just the Caribbean, we're talking the ones with the stone hedges. We're talking the small islands that are so remote, it'd be impossible to find these things. Yeah. And yet, you found them. And history was white. And a lot of these places, you documented the same thing. They were happy. They were happy people.
Right.
And then you look at even the beginning, you were so full that before you decided to even visit any of these islands, you decided that you were going to carry people from an entire different place to a world that you didn't even fully comprehend, understand, or know the dangers of. Like, how narcissistic is that? How egotistical is that? Whatever's over there, besides what we've already knocked down, we'll knock down anything else, and then you people are going to mix with these people, and we can, y'all going to work all this. That's crazy.
And a whole That's bunch crazy. Of people are going to have fights over it as well. Fights over a territory which didn't belong to you in the first place. Like, and I'm like, I'm very grateful for, like, having done my primary years back in Jamaica. So that was up to grade 6. I was 11 when I left school. And, you know, just learning about the history. So during our social studies lessons, and it was, all right, cool. So Jamaica wasn't called Jamaica before colonization. Jamaica didn't have black people as such before colonization. Like, we had Taínos. Like, you know, we had these people. These were who we had on the island. So even
all migrating from South America.
Like, this is what it was beforehand. So I appreciate that, and I appreciate the knowledge that I was able to get, because then it meant that I had that understanding. And even, like, still just learning as I'm getting older. For instance, like, one of the dances, dances / music that is played in my parish, predominantly St. Thomas, which is Kumina, just learning about the history of that, which is, oh, wait, that's fully linked to Congo. And just even thinking about Patois in itself, where it's not just broken English, it's a mixture of so many different languages, because of people being nosy and coming through and just getting excited for no reason.
There it is.
So yeah.
And yeah, and even in looking at too, look at the ability to adapt. Mm. Look at the ability to then make new.
Mm-hmm.
To recreate, to restructure, and we always end up finding our way back. I'll say this today, right? So I was with my life partner and I. We had attended breakfast today. And in breakfast, we had a conversation. She stated that Black women were the most hated beings on earth. And I won't lie, I began to protest. And I said, most disrespected, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Hated out. I said, I think we might have that. Now to think something, right? We retreated from the conversation, and I spent like a good 2 hours, 2.5, reflecting on that, honestly. And I thought about something, and it was ironic, was I told somebody this a while ago to kind of defend that point, or to bring more so some clarity to someone else. And it's ironic, I'm now bringing that same point to prove an even bigger point, not only to myself, but maybe the world.
Mm.
If you want to know what hate is taking someone's creation and mutilizing it. Hate is forcefully injecting one's essence inside another one's being, and forcing them to have an internal conflict of being a creature, but now having to love thy enemy by extension of what is forming in one's body. Someone misusing my ability to create joy. And now ushering in no ill words of the child, because the child cannot be at fault. But the conditions in which have been held down by women for years, when we say women have held secrets, you want to know the secrets of how many fathers are not really the fathers, but it wasn't a situation of I was messy, and yet I'll still get called the name for that either way. By the way, another secret I have to bury with along with the first one. That is That is a different level of hate. A level so strong where you not only have done this to the beautiful children that have come from one of the most powerful beings, arguably the most powerful being to exist on this earth. You then create a situation that detaches the family, the very structure maybe women chromosomes are laced with, and you make her, you don't kill her, not as often. I have something different in mind for you. Men, never to minimize our deaths, our struggles, our hangings, our lynchings, any of that. But once we're gone, we have now transcended to do something different. So when men, so Black men, right, in slavery, when we're killed, we're beat, not minimizing once again, but now we've transcended. We're in a different plane now. Our families, our women, our mothers, our grandmothers, our aunties, our sisters are still here. And you see a lot of times Black women do often take back seats, you know? If we want to talk the majority, if you want to talk statistics, we can talk the majority, whatever the case may be. If you want to talk movements, even recent, George Floyd, oh my gosh, the passion behind him, A1. Breonna Taylor, what happened? We told you women were dying in the hospitals, what happened?
Real.
Where is that same zeal? Where is that same passion? These are important. That is the preservation of the family. That is the you want to know what the structure of the family is. It stems from that. The tree.
Mm-hmm.
The tree that will allow seeds to grow and then rule. And hopefully protected soil. And hopefully well cultivated and tended to land. Which now that's where we kind of get back to the guy, because a no woman, very independent. No matter which woman, always free to be independent. But no one should have to go through pregnancy alone.
Mm-hmm.
That's a process for real. That's a process. So, yeah. That's it.
Boy, it was just like being in the Church of Spades just now still. Because, wow. But you said it all. Like, you said it all. Could you do Master of Sign Language, please?
Of course. Hold on a second. I am the master of sign language, and yet a rookie. Played hooky during life lessons, so when emotions take their toll, I lack the chance to drive forward, and I U-turn. But now the wrong way is the one way, and you see everything as opposition, ignoring your own condition, working harder to dodge obstacles that you may have put in place, or didn't. When standards are impossible to meet, suicide is on either side, and at least I didn't have to pay to wreck my own life. We don't teach little boys how to be husbands. And it's little girls that would like to be wives. The best man I could be is so anxious, but if you subtract the genuine, do you see what the difference is? We were two different kids, but we were different kids. You had dolls, played house, bottles, trying to figure out what family is. I bottled everything in that playhouse because dolls, you know, the fine women, couldn't tell me what family is, but mama popped me if I spoke back. And it ain't like Pop ever spoke back, so is that another silence attempt? Now raging lava boils alive the choir, harmonizing the screams with a violin. I'm cool on the outside, but have you ever heard of a yoni steam? My insides are as hot as them, and I don't know how you don't catch it when it's right there in your midst. Love exists. But a lot of men are the adventurers. We set sails with relations on a different ship. When I flew kites, that was practice. For mama seeing me graduate flight school, papa catches me closer to cops and robbers. Oh, I'm sorry. Oops. Papa catches me closer to the fire so I can put them out, because that's what firefighters do when cops and robbers is such a vital game. It's a cement line to decide if giving boys the blues is the price for the things you take, including your own voice. My hand movements aren't sign language. It's just a sign that language isn't working. Anybody can be a little mermaid, drowning in the silence of the place you once spoke in. I am a master of sign language. I communicate very well. The anger is demonstrated when the veins resemble lightning and the fists clench. The glare is gone. Anything is an enemy if it stares too wrong, but you are not my target. And I love you was punched into every wall when you thought I missed. Because in the world of men, we could have boxed. That's why this type of pain don't exist. So when my own chin falls and my eyes are late for our appointments, understand pride often feels like all the man has. So when we fail the standards of women, well, most of us fail to have dads. And I offer no excuses to sacrifice such a holy altar. But understand when you were someone's daughter, my own sister was catching what you were. You were not the first. I liked Ed and Eddie. Wrestling, oversleeping till mama made me morph in time to be the best Power Ranger I could be that day. I even tried hard for good grades because papa took me to the 99 cent store for each A, and mama kissed me real big on the cheek. And my teacher told me about the constellations through stickers. She gave me one, and I looked in the mirror, and it was the first time I ever saw a star, and it smiled back. And then I learned it was my reflection. And I spent the rest of my life doing a lot of just that, reflecting on how I am the master of sign language. That's that piece.
And that piece is everything. Literally everything. Like, there's just so much in that piece. But I think when I listen back to it today again, and just hearing it again, it's where we spoke about just punching holes in walls. And it's just like, yo, is it that some of these men who end up abusing women just do not understand what it is to be, to show love, to speak about the things which are frustrating them? I mean, I know the answer to this is yes, but it really made me start thinking through it, like, because even thinking about where you've got, I feel like I've lost my thought just now. Living out what they see, or living out what they do not see. Either way, right? So either they're saying there's been studies which says that children who grow up in houses where there is domestic violence, they will go through the same thing. But obviously everyone chooses their own path. So they either choose to continue down the same path, obviously with different factors involved, or they choose to pull themselves out of it. And it's not even a thing of choosing to go down the same path. It is a thing of not really knowing any better, therefore still going through this, never having had someone to say this isn't the way it should be, and not having the right examples. And then you've got those who they don't see love. So even if they don't see the physical domestic violence, they don't see love. So they don't know what love is. They don't understand how love should be portrayed. So you don't have a father figure in the house, therefore you don't know how a woman should be treated. So, all right, cool. I can always love mom. But then again, now this is coming back to your point about the kings who treat their moms well, but they can't, they don't do the same for other black women, because they've, even though they love their mom, they've never seen anyone show how to show love to another, to a woman. So they've been brought up on this, I am your caregiver, and they understand that, they accept it, they appreciate it so much and so dearly, but there's something just not connecting, like the right electrical impulse is just, it's just not. So as a result, it's just like, I can't connect two and two right now. And like, no one's ever showed me how to. And so they don't actively think about it, but these things just end up happening. And without the right groups in place, so I know that, you know, there are groups out there, like over here, there is 100 Black Men of London. There is a page that I'm following on Instagram called Save Our Boys. There's also another one called Manhood Academy. And these things are teaching young men how to, you know, they're mentoring these young men. And a guy over here put on something called 56 Men of London to show that Black men, 56 Black Men of London or something like that, to show that Black men aren't your stereotypes, that just because they have a hood on doesn't mean there is not more to them. So they are like your lawyers, your politicians, your graphic designers, and all of these things. So there are these like different groups out there, but without them intercepting it within certain lives and certain groups, no matter what you do, even if a child has someone constantly saying, oh, maybe, if it's not the right individual who is intercepting and showing these things, like, it's just, after a while, it's just gonna fall flat. And, you know, I know, like, for myself, like, I can always say to young men in schools, like, you've got to do better, but that's just coming from a woman. Why have I got to do better? Like, I'm not trying to be like you because you're a woman and I'm a boy. So how can the two, like, marry up? I just can't be like you, and what do you understand of my life? And it's just crazy. It's just absolutely crazy. But then again, even with these individuals intercepting, when they go back home, it's like that consistency isn't there. That consistency just isn't there. And everything breaks down after a while. It just takes for very resilient characters to be able to continue continue along the right path. And you said it in Brothers Keepers, like, not leaving the house. So after you hold, you come tree and make a home and everything, not leaving, not stepping out. But it just takes the resilient ones. Like, yeah. Your piece is really, like, talk to me. Like, really, really talk to me.
Well, I'm glad, because listen, who had fun writing these is me. Like, honestly. Truly, it, like, a joy in doing this. So thank you.
And thank you for enjoying writing them. Thank you for creating them. Thank you for sharing them. That's even the biggest thanks. Thank you for sharing them, because had you not shared these pieces, had you not put them out there, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Well, and that's important. It just needs to be a conversation. It wasn't anything I knew as a kid. It wasn't something a lot of people knew. And so here we are. And now that I do know, now that I have been made aware, I want to spread it, but the right way. You know, I don't want to point fingers. I'm not here to subject anyone to judgment. If anything, I just want to learn. And part of learning is you got to have to get out your own way too. You're going to have to get uncomfortable and be okay with being in an uncomfortable seat and really listening, listening and hearing, you know, the other side. So there's a, and you have to do that to understand men better, and I got to do that to understand women better, you know, especially those in my community, those of the Black, you know, because that's how we come together. That's how we rise amongst all of this, is unite all fronts, on all sides. Because when anybody else see anybody our color, they all see the same. A lot, those who are against us see the same thing. Group them together. Honestly. So no need in doing anyone else's work and making it easier for them. But Queen, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for saying yes. Like, serious. Thank you all so much. Wholeheartedly appreciate you, and I appreciate this opportunity to just talk, like, completely. There you have it, folks. You have stuck around through to the end of the episode. I appreciate you truly, truly. I'm just happy that you get to listen to this recording, even though several moons later. But I do appreciate the fact that you are still here with me, you're still rocking out with me. If you haven't yet, please do just head over to either Amazon or my website for this book, lovingblack.co.uk, or Target, or Barnes & Noble, or Waterstones, or Foyles. Like, either or, I just would like for you to just get a copy of this book, if not for yourself, for someone else. And it's just so fitting that this episode, there was a conversation of the Black woman, because it just all pans out so well. The book itself is about a young Black woman who is trying to figure out what love is, what life is, and she does figure love out for herself. You know, it's beautiful. It's something that I want to know your views on this book. So definitely, I'm just gonna ask if you could please get your hands on a copy, have a read. If not you, get it to someone else, get them to have a read, and we can go from there. But for now, that is it from me, Karina Toya, for Loving Black. Thank you.